Following is a presentation of the Here's My Production Podcast Network. Welcome to On Set.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah, I think it's been almost a month since we've done it.
It has. And, for good cause, you know.
For good cause, and it was just one of those things where it was kind of like we... Not that we ran out of stuff to discuss, it was just... We ran out of stuff to discuss, and it was just busy with everything else that we got kind of sidetracked, and, you know, we'd get together for Noel, and then all of a sudden it would be kind of like, hey, I want to go home and nap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we're back. I'm David Sokolowski.
Chris Kerba.
And tonight we actually have a very special guest, Mr. Scott Merritt.
How are you?
Who is the owner, operator, and secretary, treasurer, coffee maker, and everything else.
Envelope liquor.
Yeah. Well, no, because they've got the ones you can just peel and stick now. So you don't
have to get them. People don't want to put the...
Yeah. And the stamps are like self-sticking, so...
I like the glue, though.
Yeah. It makes the day better, you know. Just get that little bit of a whee.
But yeah, we got Scott Merritt of Merritt Artist Management. So who is technically our agent. Well, technically, I mean, like, as of
January 1st
and 2nd, he is definitely our agent. So
yep, very much so.
So welcome to On Set.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you.
Yeah.
Or glad to be here.
However it works.
Yeah. Trust me, we're glad to have you as our agent.
Very much so.
Because, I mean, like, for the last year or so, well, longer for you, I guess.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years.
2 years for you, a year for me. I mean, like, you have been our agent. You have been the guy that, you know, calls us and gets us gigs and everything else. And. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking forward to continuing that throughout the new year.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Next step, honestly. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, and just out of curiosity, because I know, like, I've had discussions with other people and whatnot, but how exactly do you get into being...
An agent?
That's a good question, actually. That's a really good question.
I got really drunk one night.
All of a sudden, I said, "Hey, book these guys." Next thing I knew.
Well, you know, it's I've been in media, broadcasting for, I guess, 25 years on and off, all different areas of the business. I was working at Brock University for 9 years, I think it was. And what I was doing there, indirectly, I was booking artists. So I was booking, so I wasn't an agent per se, but I was dealing with the other side of the business. So I was booking music, theater, dance, kid stuff, going in, doing all the conferences, dealing with the agents, dealing with the publicity side and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. As well, working in radio and I worked at a newspaper. I was on your side as well. I was represented at one time, and did my share of small gigs along the way. And I got the opportunity to be an agent or become a booker. And from there, I learned and learned and learned. And now it's time to move out on my own and take over the business on my own. And actually. Be the agent per se and represent great talent like you guys, and I'm thrilled to have you aboard, honestly.
He's just saying that because we're in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. Later on I won't be saying that. No, honestly.
Once he's out of here, he's like, why was I thinking?
No, and you know, that's in a nutshell, you know, it's a real condensed version of what actually transpired through my very varied career, I guess you can say, and but it's been a weird road. But you take all of your experiences through the years and end up where you're at now, and that's
some
what
good,
I'm doing.
Some bad.
Yeah, you know, and basically it's a combination of all of the above. And I think being on the agent side and dealing with talent and understanding both sides of the business really comes to my benefit in creating the relationships with casting and with the talent. And you've got to be able to work and work with people and relate to people. And I think that's what it comes down to.
On that note, I mean, I know through conversations you and I have had, you're definitely knowledgeable about the industry, but you really do mean it when you say, you know, working from both sides. I remember you telling me you went down and participated in a workshop that Gloria Mann was putting on for the actors.
Yeah.
So I mean that alone speaks volumes in the way that you know what your clients are, or what your actors, I guess, on your roster. You know what we're walking into. You know, you know both sides of the industry. You know that, you know, when you show up to an audition, you know that there's 15 other people that look exactly like you going for the same thing. And
yeah,
and you know, like, you know the business well enough to know what you're sending us into, which in my mind really it puts my mind more at ease. As you know what I mean, like I'd rather deal with someone who knows what's going on as opposed to someone who just went, I'm just gonna be an agent so I can make commission off something and not do it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And you know, I went and did the workshop with, as you say, with Gloria Mann not that long ago, and I didn't need to be there.
Yeah,
honestly, I didn't need to be there because I'm not actually doing that. I'm not going to be doing the auditions, but I wanted a refresher.
Yeah.
I wanted to, okay, reteach me here, because over time you forget, mm-hmm. you know, and really that's what it's coming down to. And I want to know what are they looking for today as opposed to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago when I was out there terrified going for the audition.
Right.
And being able to understand what they're looking for helps me a lot when I'm putting you out there.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
because I don't want to throw you into something that you're not
suited for.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to say capable of, but that's the wrong way of looking at it. And being suited for is huge.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste your time, I don't want to waste casting's time, because they're going to look at me and say, well, what is he doing? Like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Why are you sending this person out? And it doesn't make any sense. So
now, is that something that's kind of something that's been on my mind, is the success rate of your client, like of the members on your roster, does that reflect on you? Like, I mean, if you have 100 people on your roster, for arguments, you know what I mean? If you have 100 actors on your roster and maybe 10% of them are getting gigs consistently, but the rest of the 90% aren't getting gigs, does that reflect on the agency, or does that, you know what I mean? Like, does that come back on you at all? Like, just for another name, would Gloria Mann as a casting place, would they look at it and go, oh, it's another guy from Merit Artist Entertainment, this guy doesn't really normally book things, let's not call him in? Or, yeah, this guy is known to book, let's call him in.
Yeah, I think it's a reputation that you build with the casting directors, because they want to know that if I'm submitting something to whatever the job happens to be,
yeah,
I want them to know that I'm submitting the best people for the job. If they know that, they're going to open what I'm sending.
Mm-hmm.
If they think that I'm just throwing a bunch of people at them,
right,
with hopes that maybe
something will stick.
Somebody good in the group will.
Yeah, no, they want you pretty much to, and ideally that's the whole idea, which is what I'm saying, is I want to know what you're about as well, as much as, am I representing you? Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to represent you properly,
right,
I want to know what you're like. I want to know what kind of personality you have. I want to know what you're capable of. I want to know what sort of monologue you can do and rattle off like that, if
right.
you understand what I mean. Like, snap my fingers, that's probably a not easy thing to pick up. But, you know, you've got to be ready for anything. And I want to know if you're going to this casting director,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to do? Or what are they going to throw at you? Are you able to handle that? Are you able to jump in and do exactly what they want? And they give me an idea of what they're looking for, but also different casting directors, I know what they're going to pull behind the scenes as well.
Right.
And if you're brand new in the industry, well, you know, you're going
to
have...
It's intimidating to walk into a place and have to go, all right, we're on a comedic monologue now.
Yeah.
But and, not only that, too, I think it's a lot of... You're sending out the people that... on your roster that you think would be suitable for the role.
Correct.
But And I mean, like, you can think so, Gloria Mann can think so, and everything else, but then the director is just kind of going, you know what? Close, but I'm not looking for that person. So I don't think it's really just a matter of, you know, if you've got 10% of your roster constantly getting gigs. If you've got, I think if you've got, like, 75-80% of your roster constantly going out, being pulled in for something, that says a lot more than just the actual right, gigs.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, if you send out, use me for example, I get sent out to 15 auditions, I don't get any of them just because I get there and I don't have the chops to get it. You know what I mean? Like, if I walk in and it's not the director going close but not what I want, but I walk in there and I just can't hack it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, right.
Like, I've been in auditions where, you know, they'll take us in five at a time, and the guy behind the camera goes, okay, here's the situation. You're driving a cab. You drive up. Someone gets in. You talk to them for 30 seconds. You roll down your window. You give directions to somebody. You roll up your window. The guy gets out. You leave. And that's the direction you're given by the guy who's going to be, you know, who's saying action. You know what I mean? He's not the director of the commercial. He's just videotaping the auditions to send to the director. But, you know, and all of a sudden he goes action, and I've watched people that just, they blatantly ignore what the guy told them to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you send, you know, as an agency, if you send out guys like that, I can imagine that, you know, they're going to go, oh, that guy came from Merit?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to, you know, if that's the kind of quality that we can expect from Merit, I just wasn't sure if that would reflect on
that. No, I do see it. I do see that point. But I thought you were just looking at it as purely... Like, if you're
the
looking
success
at...
Rate? No, I meant, like, you know, people that go out and just don't have the acting chops to do...
Right.
Which is, to take that a step further, that's not what I'm looking for when I look for talent as well.
Right, right.
When I'm pulling talent that I want to represent as far as my agency, Merit Artist Management, I want people that have the chops. I want people that have the experience or... understand what it takes to get that experience. An actor in anything, whether it's a commercial, now commercial, 90% of bookings for commercials come down to look.
Mm-hmm.
Simply look. What you're looking at is TV and film. Now that's acting chops, and that comes with resume experience and training.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for as well. I don't want the guy in line at McDonald's with a cute face. That's out there.
Yeah.
I want the people that I know I can rely on. I know what they're all about. I know that they've got the experience and the training and can handle what I'm sending them out for. Now, when I say I want to know what you're capable of, that affects what I'm going to put you in for. If there's a movie out there, for example, and it's a real drama, tearjerker, and you're a comedic guy, why would I put you in for that?
Exactly.
You're wasting your time. Yeah. I'm wasting my time submitting you, and I don't want to have that reputation that I'm going to submit just anybody for any role. Mm-hmm. I want to have the reputation, and with what you're saying about the 75, I want 100% people working.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy. Have a small agency, a small roster, but who I have are quality people.
Mm-hmm.
When I send them out, I want the casting directors to know that you're getting quality when you're pulling my guys in, because I'm not submitting 50 people. I'm not submitting...
You're presenting quality, not quality.
I'm giving them my top talent for what you're asking for. And that's how I'd like to approach everything that I'm doing. And being on my roster, you've got to have the chops, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have the experience and know-how of what you're getting into. Because it's not... It's a tough business. Mm-hmm. It is a tough business.
It really is.
You know, getting 15 auditions is awesome. There's probably 40 things that you've been submitted to get 15 auditions.
Yeah.
15 auditions is great. How many are you going to land from that? Yeah. If you land 3 or 4 out of 15, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's
you know, that's a pretty good...
That is exceptional. Booking rate. Absolutely.
So, you know, you can look at it number-wise, but and getting the auditions is half the battle. And getting the jobs is half the battle, but getting the reputation is a big battle, and that comes from me, and that's what I want to work on.
Right.
And I have been, and dealing with the casting directors, they know who I am now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well, I mean, like, that's the other thing, too, because I think a lot of the people that that you're looking for and that you would be sending out are actually, like, we know enough that it's a job, more than anything, but it's also, you know, they're looking for professionalism. Mm-hmm. They're looking for people that, yeah, you know what, you're gonna show up for an audition for, you know, Burger King the same way that you're gonna show up for an audition for, you know, like Kell's Tires or, you know, something that's not going to be nationally shown,
mm-hmm.
you know, and probably just a small market or whatever else, but you're still gonna show up, you're still gonna do what you have to do.
Or,
I think that has a lot to do with it as well. I mean, like, there is still that professionalism that goes there.
Absolutely. And it's the same if you're going to a TV series for a role in a TV series, whether it be an actor role or a main role in a TV series, you've got to have that professionalism. It's no different than a commercial.
Yeah.
It's no different than anything else that you do. You got to, and you give it your all.
Yeah, I mean, like, because I know one of the last sets that I was on for, what was the show? Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
Show up, you know, call time is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't get on set until 10:30.
Mm-hmm. That night. Yeah.
And constantly I had ADs coming up and, you know, oh, we're going to get to you, like, you know, within the next hour. We're going to get to you just after lunch. We're going to get to you, you know, and I'm like,
I'm yours for the day.
Are you paying me? Then don't worry about me. I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, for them, a lot of them kind of, like, sat back and went, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because there's some people that are like, you know, oh, I've been here for 6 hours. How come you haven't done anything with me? I'm like, I'm not picky.
Well, that's the job, and it's a lot of waiting around. And if you've been on set, you need to bring a book.
Yeah.
Honestly, you bring a book. You bring an iPad with headphones now, but you are prepared to sit around and wait. When I was on a set, and this is a while ago, I was on set and I sat for 12 hours. And then I was used for about 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour, and that was it.
Yep.
And it was great. I got paid, and I read a book.
Well, I think one of the commercials that I did, one of the longest running commercials I've done, the Canada Protection Plan, I remember I was there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they let me go at 6 in the evening. I could have been wrapped by 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went up. We did our scenes and stuff like that. And I went and sat downstairs. And I mean, there's after a while, you look at your watch and you're kind of like, this is getting ridiculous. You know, it's been 6 hours. What am I doing here still? But you know, at the same time, it's like, you know what? I've already booked myself off for the day.
Yeah,
I'm committed to doing this. This is what I want to do.
Well, that's
so you don't bitch.
That's right.
You know, and at that point, I find a lot of times when I'm on set is that's when I'll go watch what someone else is doing. You know, like, I'll go watch what the lighting guy is doing just to see how he does his thing. You know, and if there's ever a point where someone, you know, the director's kind of waffling or they're looking for different ideas and they're trying to spitball ideas and stuff, I have absolutely no problem going, would this work?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you got to be careful of that, though.
Oh, you should do it this way. But if someone goes, how do we do this? And they really want something.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, well, why don't you put a light on this side of it and just put a grill in front of it? You'll get the same effect through the window, but you don't have to go outside.
Yeah. But sit back, watch, and learn is a huge part of being on set, no matter what.
The one that I was on for the commercial for the Blue Cross down in Minnesota, they spent out of, like, the 10-hour day, they probably spent 8 hours with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, they're kind of like, sorry, you know, thanks for showing up so early and everything else. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. But I was able to, like, actually, like, stand with Amanda, the director of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and talk in between takes, and, like, surprisingly, she was asking me my opinion on a couple of things, and I was kind of like, well, how about this?
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, like, take it or not, it's totally irrelevant.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, like, it, you know, it's, what's the old saying? Like, you know, advice is free, so
mm-hmm.
do with it what you want type thing. But I mean, it was just something to be able to sit there and watch and see everybody's positioning and everything else, and see how it was coming out on the camera. And you know, it, I mean, like, and it's more of a learning thing. They were kind of like, oh, you can go back to the trailer and relax and everything else. And I'm like, I'd much rather just stand here on set and watch and learn,
yeah, absolutely,
and everything else. And they're like, if you want to, sure, go ahead.
Well, it's amazing what you can learn just by watching. Really,
and just talking with people between takes too, like talking with the sound guys, talking with the lighting guys. There's always something you can learn.
Well, and the networking of doing that,
absolutely,
is huge.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to remember that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I did Paranormal Witness, that was a 2-week-long shoot, which was amazing. And by the end of it, you know, everyone kind of knew who would do what. You know, like it was, we knew how long it would take the lighting guys to change stuff up. And they were always, oh, do you want to go sit in the tent? I'm like, no, fuck. Like, give me something to do. You know, like, and I feel bad about doing it, but every time I show up on set, the first thing I ask is, can I help with anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what I'm here to do.
Uh-huh.
I know, you know, if I've got lines, I've got them memorized, I know what I'm here to do. Do you guys need anything else done? Can I carry this from the car to the front step? Can I? And everyone's always like, no, union. No.
Yeah.
And, you know, half the guys are working on union memberships, or, you know, they are union and I'm, you know, working on a union shoot, but everyone just freaks out. You can't touch anything.
Yeah, yeah. Especially union. Union, you can't do that at all.
It's not me trying to cross bounds. It's just, you know, from the community theater where you're used to
everybody
doing moves in. Yeah. Everybody helps set up. Everybody moves stuff. Yeah. Everybody participates, you know? And it's such a... You almost feel helpless. You're just kind of sitting there going... Oh. Well,
but I mean, and I think that's where a lot of it, too. I mean, like, a lot of it comes through on, like, having that kind of rapport where... You know, they might remember you from the last shoot because, you know, you were trying to help, whether or not you were.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you were trying to be helpful. You were trying to learn. You were trying to, you know, watching everything, and you were asking questions and everything else. They might have another role come up where they're going to be like, you know what? That guy could probably pull this off. Mm-hmm. Let's bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's easy to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, reputation.
And when they call for you and you're right there already. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's huge. Just the reputation. And I know both of you have a great reputation. And I hear that from the casting.
Yeah.
And that's good.
It's amazing how almost incestuous the industry really is, you know. Like,
it's small.
It really is. I mean, you get film crews. And no film crew will ever be the same. You know, you'll never get the exact same people on two different shoots. You know, someone's going to be different, and there's always going to be, you know, you'll see someone from one shoot on another shoot, and you'll see the same casting director, different director, and different this, that, and the other, and it seems that everyone already knows each other. And I find that if you show up on set, and I've seen some people do it where they show up and they're just assholes.
Yeah.
And you're going, you're shooting yourself all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, it's unbelievable to watch. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things too, because a lot of people when they're actually in this industry and in this industry as actors, they have this feeling that they're, I don't want to say better than everybody else, but it's kind of like, I mean, a lot of it is kind of like, oh, well, the only reason why this is being put on is because I'm actually here to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, without me, there is no show. And it's like, well, without the lighting guy, nobody's going to see you.
Yeah.
Without the sound guy, nobody's ever going to hear you.
Like, you know, and there's a good comparison to exactly what you're saying. It's typically somebody that maybe got booked for a couple things, and all of a sudden they think that they're better than anything. And I saw that many times when I was booking bands.
Mm.
Brand new bands, good bands.
Yeah.
Just starting out, you know, they might be just breaking into the business. Usually awesome.
Yeah.
Then they break, nightmare. And then, all of a sudden, they're right back to normal again when they get big. And it's right in the middle, and it's the same sort of analogy, and that happens all the time. And again, a lot of times when that happens, it will come back to me.
Yeah.
And it's my job to rein you back down. Yeah. And I've had to do that, and I have no problem doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes around like that, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. They really are.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because I know you and I have had conversations, too, where it's more like, it's not necessarily like as an agent, it's not necessarily you're working for me. We're supposed to be working together.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
Because, I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, yeah, you know what? Great. Here's all my stuff. Send me out there.
It's actually even further than that. I'm working for you. You can go anywhere.
No, I understand
you
that.
You know, honestly.
No, I understand that, but it's also one of those things where it's like, I just don't want it to be one of those, like, here's all my stuff. I only want to talk to you when you've got something for me. No, it's one of those things where, okay, well, you know, I haven't heard from you in a week or so. Is there anything that, you know, that I can change, or, mm-hmm. you know, is there something I can work on, or, like, is there anything anywhere? Is there any background work that I can get just to get
something,
something out there and whatnot? I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, like, I've talked to other people, and, like, on sets and whatnot, and they're kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm surprised I got a call from my agent because, like, I don't hear from them, and everything else. And I mean, like the Much Music one that I did, a couple of people there, their agent actually showed up to the set just to see if everything was okay.
Wow.
And everything else and whatnot. And I was kind of like,
I love doing that kind of thing. I love it, my whole theory on what I'm doing is small roster, manageable, number one. Number two, it gives me the opportunity to get to know everybody and know people really well. That's really important to me because I want to know you. It doesn't mean I'm going to go out and have a beer with everybody on the roster every night of the week. Can't do that. But ultimately, I want to be a friend as much as working together. And ultimately, if you guys succeed getting a job, I succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's a
win-win.
Yeah.
Honestly, and getting to know you and becoming a friend and working together goes a long way no matter how you slice it, and that is important. And being able to show up on set and dropping in at the casting directors and, you know, when they say, hey, how are you doing? Come on in, sit down for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling for me, and that's what, you know?
And I mean, like, it's one of those things, and I know it's kind of like, you know, like you were saying too, it is almost incestuous, but it's one of those things where you've developed a rapport with the casting directors. They know who you've got and everything else and who you usually submit for stuff, and they know what they've got coming up technically.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, you know, hey, by the way, next week you might want to get these guys ready to come in for this.
Yeah, and that happens.
You know.
And there's a couple of casting directors that don't even post the jobs. They call me directly.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens. And what a great feeling. You know, they know that they can trust me enough to recommend, okay, this is what I'm doing. They phone me up and they say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm looking for. Who have you got that would fit that role? And trust me enough to say, book them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. Like,
well, this is going to be an odd question. I know that I did the Budweiser commercial for the Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
Last 2012.
Yep.
And then I got another Bud Light one, but I don't remember auditioning for the Bud Light one. Did they just call you back? Or?
Yeah. I actually called them and told them that you did that.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, yeah, cool. And I said, he's available. You want it?
Perfect.
And, yeah, that's...
Yeah, another case in point where...
Well, I knew the guy, and I felt comfortable phoning,
yeah,
first of all, and knowing that he's going to go, oh yeah, you know what? Good suggestion, good call on that.
Yeah, perfect.
And that happens, you know, and there are a couple casting directors that will call me without posting.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that was almost the first one that I got there for the... Cold Blood.
Cold Blood, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you got a booking. Excellent. What's it for? Cold Blood, you're doing this?
No, you didn't audition.
I don't remember that one. No, because you didn't audition for it. It was literally I auditioned for a complete same show.
Different
episode and everything else.
Well, that's happened.
But it was one of those things where it's kind of like, that guy for this role.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, that's what happened to me with Paranormal Witness. I remember I auditioned for, I think, episode 3. Mm-hmm. And it was a totally different scenario. And then they booked me for what ended up being the pilot episode, which I still think is being aired on TV, which means technically I should be getting another check.
Don't think so on that one.
No, there was no residual?
No residuals on that.
Damn.
Yeah. Nice try. Yeah, no, that was your straight pay.
Everything's worth a shot. But
Yeah.
I know the Super Bowl one was. That one had residual if they played it again after a year.
Yeah.
As does the Canada Protection Plan, which is in January.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a question for you, Scott. If an artist leaves their agent.
Yep.
And there is a residual check for something like a commercial that gets aired after the talent leaves.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Does the money still go to the agent and they still get a percentage of that check, or does it go to the new agent, or how does that?
Typically, if something is going to be re-aired,
right,
they would have to call and get permission.
Okay.
From you saying yes, you may re-air that, because they have to check for current conflicts.
Right.
So they would have to track you down or find you,
right?
Which is something that I would see if I can kind of go through your back, what you've done, and let them know, hey, if this is coming up, here we are.
Yeah.
So that it happens that way. But before they re-air anything, in a case like that, they have to physically get your permission. You have to sign off on it, or the agent would sign off for you. But before I ever signed off for you, I would call you and say,
hey,
you okay with this?
Yeah.
Which, what are you going to say?
I don't think anyone would ever go, no.
Yeah, what are you going to say? No, I don't think I want the free money. Because you're getting paid for something that you're not doing.
Yeah.
You know, basically you'll get your buyout rate.
Yeah.
You won't get the shoot rate, but you'll
get
the buyout
part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is bonus. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's also nice, too, when it's something where you've, the original buyout was for like 2 years or whatnot, and you've completely forgotten about it.
Oh yeah!
And all of a sudden, someone goes, "Hey, you want $500?"
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
They want to use it for another year. Do you want to?
Well, your Blue Cross, they did that before it even went
out.
They upped it. Yeah, they upped it to 3 years, wasn't it? I think. If I remember right, I think it was they upped it to 3 years from two right off the top. I
can't remember. Or they upped it from one to two or from two to three.
Yeah, I think it was.
But
two
I do
to
know
three.
There was they did add in an extra year.
Yeah.
But now, here's a question for you, Scott. How would, if there's someone new to the industry, they're very gung-ho about it, they know that this is what they want to do, how would they go about getting noticed by you? Because, I mean, obviously, from what you said, you're not an elitist, but at the same time, you're not going to take everybody, you know?
Well, and that is a good question, because I don't want to eliminate anybody. Ultimately, that being said, I want the people with the experience, but if somebody's got something, number one, and they're doing the right steps to get where they want to go.
Right.
So if it's somebody that's taking training, somebody that's going to college, university, for a career in acting, or going to, like, there's a lot of training facilities out there. Sears and Swiss are fantastic. Second City, fantastic. So if somebody is actually taking the steps and already doing this, perhaps they haven't been on set. But, you know, training is as valuable as being on set.
Right.
So, yes, I would be interested in talking to them. And basically what I'd be doing in that case is I'd be doing an audition.
Right.
So I would want to see their monologue. I want to see what we can work with. If they have something that I could see and I have a spot available, because I don't want somebody that's going to be the same as you.
Right.
If you understand what I mean. Because
absolutely.
that's ruining your chances. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that. So if somebody has something different about them than what I've already got and has something, doing some training, getting started in the business, doing independent films, you know, showing some initiative, yes, I would be interested in talking to them, and I would be interested in giving them a shot, depending on, you know, they have to prove it to me, though.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I guess that's the best way of saying it, is it's an audition. You gotta sell yourself to me. And
if you can sell yourself to me, then the next step is selling yourself to me.
And then I would work with them.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd go, okay, what can we do? How can we get to where you want to go? They're not going to be going for the principal roles. They're going to be going for the lesser roles to build what they're doing and get a reputation.
Right. Now, would you, like, how do you, for somebody that wants to get into it and everything else, I'm looking at it as somebody that wants to get into it, they're not going to have the money to go to Second City for the classes and everything else. Like, do you know of any, like, I guess, free or cheap or...
You know, community theater.
I was about to say the same thing. Community, like, for me was where I learned, that was where I got my anything from. I started out with absolutely zero stage experience whatsoever. A guy took a chance on me because I made him laugh during my audition. And since then, it's just been, you know, as soon as you set foot on stage, it's learning from minute one. You know, and sometimes you learn the most from the worst experience ever. Like, you know, someone messes up royally on stage, you're stuck there. Believe me, you learn how to improv really too quick. You know, like, there's nothing else to do. This show's got to go. How do you fix it?
No, but I mean, like, and the only reason why I ask that is because, like, a lot of people would probably hear, like, Second City or doing something like that and go, well, you know, like, I'm still in high school trying to, you know, thinking about this and whatnot. Like, is drama class really going to teach me everything that I need to know?
It's a start.
I know it is, but it's also one of those.
Drama in grade 9.
Did you really?
I did. The guy told me I would never amount to anything on stage.
Who's laughing now?
I think he died.
Still him. For right now, still a teacher. But, but you're getting there. No, but I mean, I think that's the thing. Because, I mean, like, I vaguely remember my drama classes. And it was kind of like, you know, like, I don't recall ever having to do anything like this. Like, it wasn't like we were doing Shakespeare or anything like that, but
but, you know, if somebody wants to get into this, if somebody wants to get experience,
they'll show the
they're going to find out how to get the experience on their own. And, you know, and where do I get people from? Well, I get it word of mouth. And I get it from going and watching shows or going to Yuck Yucks and watching a comedian. That's where people come from. Word of mouth, in particular, from people that I know. And if I'm getting somebody from, recommended from somebody that I know on the roster in particular, that means something to me. You know, honestly, it's coming from a professional. So, but ultimately, if somebody wants experience, they're going to find out how to get the experience. And it's amazing how many people are going to college, university, and taking acting. And it's amazing how stage experience, how valuable it really is. You know, it is. It's a very different animal from being on TV. You have to overact. TV, you almost underact. But if you can do one, you can do the other. You know, and the training is invaluable. Casting directors, one of the first thing they look at, they don't look at commercials that you've done. They look at TV shows and film. And they look at training. Because commercial, again, is 90% look.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, I remember working through the restaurants. There was a restaurant going into the airport, a Second City restaurant. And what part of the weekend of training was having to go down to the Second City training and do classes all weekend.
Second City training in Sears and Switzer are incredible. Put those on your resume. Huge.
Really?
Absolutely huge.
Just put them on the resume? Or
well,
yeah.
To actually take
them. Probably would be good to actually do them.
Now, the Sears and Switzer, are they expensive? Are they...
They have different ones that they offer. You know, smaller ones, more full courses that are prolonged. And, you know, they cater.
Yeah.
It depends on what you can afford, and you know, you got to look at it that way. You know?
No, exactly.
Like, not everybody's going to be making the money of Brad Pitt, and I wouldn't expect anybody to be making that money, you know, honestly.
I expect it of myself soon.
Now,
here's a question. Like, for someone like myself who you know, I've got a, I don't want to say established resume because I clearly want more. Right now, the only real training I've got is the improv stuff from Renaissance Fairs, the Humber College. I want to do more of the, I guess, serious side. Because I've got the comedy stuff. Yeah. I want to do the more dramatic stuff.
Sears and Switzer?
Yeah. Now that's what you... Okay.
That's definitely what I would recommend, yeah. And there's Armstrong training as well. It's pretty good. There's other casting directors are quite often are putting on workshops, and it's geared to different areas of the business. I know Brian Levy does it. I'm pretty sure Brian Leach does some as well. And their workshops are great because you're going to pick something up. And again, going to a workshop put on by a casting director, you're dealing with somebody who's going to be calling you in. So it's huge. Yeah. You know, honestly, they're going to remember the people. It shouldn't happen that way, but they're going to remember who did their workshop. You know, they know because they spent an entire day or weekend or whatever the course happens to be with you, seeing what you can do. Mm-hmm. Something comes up that you can fit, they're going to remember that, and they're going to be looking for you.
It's one of those things where it's kind of like, just going back to the whole incestual thing, it's literally, they know that you're a professional, they know that you're going to show up, they know that you're going to do this, they just spent the time with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like, even when you're writing your stuff and whatnot, like, when you have the characters there, do you not have, like, the certain people in mind?
Yes and no. When I'm looking to cast something, you kind of have the idea of the character, and when you're looking at headshots, you're kind of going, this guy fits.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you're writing something, when you're doing the characters and everything else, right? If you're doing regular casting and everything else, you would probably be able to know that it's this person that I'm looking for, or, you know, if you've seen them over and over again and you know that they would be capable of doing that character justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's times, they have an idea, especially if they've been working with you in
previous things.
In previous jobs, previous auditions, previous, you know, and the more they get to know you, I always say, the best compliment that you could possibly get is walk into a casting house and they call you by name before it's your turn. They see you sitting there. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and because I mean, like, I even commented it to you, didn't I? One time I was down at Man. And before I even signed in, they were like, "Hey, Dave." I'm like,
"That's a compliment."
I think I texted Chris right away. And I was like, "How do they know me?" It's just one of those things where I'm not expecting.
But you know, that's the biggest compliment, because you've made an impression and they're thinking about you. Yeah. And I know that that is the case.
Yeah.
And when they start calling you by name, that's really good.
There's a couple times where I've been to a couple auditions where I haven't, you know, for, I think it was Cold Blood. I did one audition a while, and then a few months went by, and I went back, did another, they're like, "Hey, how you been?" And I'm like, "Oh, great, how are you?" You know, like, I don't think I'd, you must see 50, 60 people a day, and all right, cool.
Yeah.
And you're remembering me. I mean, and it is a good feeling.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be remembered.
You know, I mean, like, it's not even just getting the part at that point in time. It's like, getting the part is always the bonus.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, a lot of it is going out and meeting with these people. And
I think that's what I love about the industry, is the whole thing, from start to finish. You know, you get the excitement of, hey, you got an audition, like, wicked, I want to see what this is. You know, you get the script, you get the scene breakdown of what you're doing, you're like, okay, here's what I'm, you know, you kind of put it together in your head, you see what they're looking for, you're like, all right, well, I'm gonna dress like this and kind of put this spin into the character that I see. If it's a historical character, like for a Cold Blood, where you're, you know, recreating an actual event, I know this has happened to you, where you've read the history of the crime
and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Show up and it's like, okay, well, you know, I showed up on set and the guy's like, all right, so you're gonna get shot once from across the car. And I'm like, okay, the police report said that they were on the same side. I didn't say anything, right? And they're like, okay, you're gonna get shot once, he's gonna get shot twice. And I'm like, well, actually, my character got shot twice, and he got shot once from across the car while he was running away.
No, we'll
do it with the way you want. You know, you're the director,
I mean, like, I...
You know, if you've got the opportunity, and the casting director's in there, and they're giving you that, and they ask you a couple questions. Make sure that you let them know that you did the research.
Yeah,
that's going to go huge to them.
Well, I think that was the thing, because when the one that I did, the director was kind of like, "Have you ever heard about this guy?" And I went, "Yeah," and he's like, "Well, what do you know?" And I'm like,
Dave,
well,
gave him the case file number.
I'm like, you know, between like 1976 and 1984, he killed at least 16 people that are credited to him. There's still another, you know, 20 that maybe he was hanging out here. He was doing, and the director was just sitting there, and he's like, and it was funny because I got called back for that one on technically for a different role, and it was the. I was playing the detective on that one, and it's like, yeah, you're doing a follow-up because they found new bones and you're really excited about it and everything else. And I'm like, unfortunately, I don't see that, because A, the guy, they already know he's dead. The killer's dead. By this time, the cop's probably so traumatized that he's trying to block it out and everything else, And I was like, I understand what you're saying, and I couldn't get it, because it just didn't feel right, like knowing the way cops are and everything else. And I'm like, they're not going to be sitting there going, oh boy, more.
Yeah.
You know, and it was difficult for me, and I wasn't expecting to get anything from it.
Yeah.
And I think I actually talked to you about it afterwards, and I was like, that was probably the hardest audition that I ever had to do. Just because of that.
The situation you know wouldn't play out the way that the director wants it to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then that to me is the unfortunate side of the industry, where at that point I become a hooker and do exactly what guy behind the camera tells me.
No, and I'm not, and it's not like I was sitting there going, I'm not doing it. Yeah, it was literally just one of those, I'll do it.
I'm happy about it.
I just know deep down I'm not going to be as convincing because I can't be.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be as convincing as I could possibly be.
Yeah, but you're not going to get that little twinkle in my eye.
Yeah, you're not going to be sold on it.
Now here's, Scott, do you prefer dealing with commercial, like as an agent, do you prefer dealing more with commercials, or do you like dealing more with TV shows, movies? Like, what, is there a specific area that agents like to focus in, or is it whatever, you know, broad strokes kind of thing?
You know what? That's a good question. I like dealing with them all, honestly, and that's the easy answer. However, when you're submitting, I like the TV and film more when you're submitting, because they're far more detailed and they're looking for something particular. Whereas, again, commercial, they're saying, okay, we're looking for this, blah, 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 and it's usually very brief, and they don't really know.
Kind of like this guy.
Yeah, you know, basically they're saying, okay, it's open ethnicity between this age and this age, and
looking for Paul Rudd.
It's going to be, and, you know, there a lot of times they compare it to whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what we're looking for, so, you know, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it is a look that they've kind of got in their mind, and they're not really sure, even putting that down, what they want, because the client is who's picking this.
Yeah.
Even though the casting director are making their recommendations, the client, they don't know.
Yeah.
When it comes to a TV show, they're giving you a detailed, or a film, they're giving you detailed descriptions. This is the character. This is what the character is all about. This is what we want. Yeah. Give me your best. And I like that, because it's more work.
Yeah.
It's more creative for me to try to get my head around it and go, okay, what exactly are they asking for? And then when you get that audition, you're getting more information that you can take to that audition, and I like to give you as much as I can possibly give you to make sure that you're prepared.
Right.
And hopefully you'll be able to do, in the recreation shows, you can do a little bit of research on your own. Google's a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's a fiction show, you know, who knows, you got to go with what they've got, but you're being far more creative when you're going. They're giving you, sometimes they give you wardrobe, sometimes they don't. You got to get into the character, and that's, you know, ultimately that's the thing.
So when they say they want to see a guy with a hockey jersey and shorts on, show up in a hockey jersey and shorts.
Please.
Yeah.
If you're not, you're not in the character. And who are they going to remember? The guy that
is.
Yep. They. I want them to look at you and say, that is my guy, not have to think about it. We don't want them to use imagination.
Mm-hmm. You want to show up and give them exactly what they want to see already.
How many people are they seeing? You know, it could be 10, it could be 50.
Yeah.
And if they have to use imagination, they're not going to remember. They're going to remember the guy that looks the role.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I've shown up in. And what I do is if there's a specific wardrobe, I'll get an idea of the character in my head, and on the way to the audition, I will stop at Value Village.
Yeah.
Pick something up for $10.
Yep.
And as soon as I'm done, make my way back to Value Village and return it.
And you know what? I would never, ever recommend anybody to go out and buy clothes.
Yeah.
But there are times that it's worth it.
Well,
you know,
if you do, there's certain things that I just, a lumberjack shirt, you know, I don't own one.
Yeah.
I would never wear one. I have no use for one. But if something calls for me to, you know, they're looking for a backwoodsy kind of guy, maybe wearing a flannel shirt, I will stop at Value
Village. Or borrow one. Borrow one.
I can't really borrow one.
You might have an issue there. Yes.
Dave, I might have one for you.
Yeah. You know, but honestly, and that's the one thing that I always stress, get into character,
mm-hmm.
take it to the extreme. If it's a construction worker and they're asking for casual, simple. Jeans, t-shirt, that's good.
Boots, yeah, man.
But why not, if you have somebody that you can get a hard hat, bring a sledgehammer, wear an orange vest, get right into the character. You know, why not?
Well, I know there was a couple that I went out for where I was being a cop, and I have a gun belt, and I took it with me.
Yeah.
And I know when I walked in, I put the gun belt on, one of the directors was just kind of looking at me going,
actually got one.
Yeah.
You
know,
I had to wear a sundress to an audition.
Yeah, I bet you were cute in that.
It was. I think it was for feminine products. And
I remember you telling me about this.
We had to throw on a sundress and go in there, and you know, the camera guy or the leading lady couldn't show up because of her pains, so they put the camera guy in the dress, and it's his turn to do it. It was, you know, they're like, okay, here's the script, and everyone kind of went in there and did their own thing, and it was, I like doing stuff like that, where they give you something to get into, as opposed to, I've done a couple KFC auditions where I show up and just go, this is mindless.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the chicken, smile. Ow. Yay.
Yeah.
You know, but what are you going to do? If all I have to do is smile and eat a piece of chicken, I will smile and eat a piece of chicken. If they give me something to sink my teeth into, aside from a piece of chicken, I am more than tickled fancy to do that. That's the kind of stuff I love doing, is just getting right into it.
But ultimately, the film TV is where anybody wants to go. The commercial is there. It is fairly mindless in a lot of cases, but it also gives you money.
But it's a lot of bread
and gives
butter,
you the
like,
money.
It really
exactly.
Does.
So that's, you've got to do that
mm-hmm.
to get to the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You look back on look at big names. Any
I
big
remember
name
seeing
out there.
Matthew Broderick, well, not Matthew Broderick, he played the dumb guy in Friends.
Matthew Perry?
No. The really dumb Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah,
that's him.
He was in a Doritos commercial in the 80s.
Google Brad Pitt. He did commercials.
Yeah.
All those, you know, they had to do.
Somewhere.
You have to do what you have to do. Commercials pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're mindless. Yes, they're, you know, they can be fun. They can be pretty straightforward.
If it's a
nothing
skipping stone to get to where you want to go.
Who cares?
It. Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what you gotta do. The TV shows and all that kind of stuff, that comes with experience and working toward that, but you gotta do the other stuff. And you know, that's the name of the game.
Nick Brody was telling me about when he landed his first, it was a union gig he did for another feminine hygiene product, where the director was like, there's something missing. There's just something missing. So they did another take, and Brody just walked into the lake, fully clothed. They were looking for him to exit in some dramatic fashion, and he just walked, and just kept walking into the water. And the director's like, "Cut, perfect, I love it."
Yeah.
You know, and apparently that's what they ended up using. That was where they said, "Okay, we got what we need." Was when he walked into the water.
Yeah, but, well, and I mean, like, it's stuff like that where it's kind of that's what I find
intuition.
The fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just and that's the kind of stuff I love seeing is where that actor gets that sudden spur of, this is a good idea.
Yep.
Let's go do this, or let's try that.
It may not happen all the time, but you know,
when it does, it's
fun. Every once in a while. All right, I'm unless you've got it.
No, I'm
because I've got a 19-month-old, 20-month-old now, 22-month-old. How old is she?
A year and a half.
About that.
Okay.
Yeah. She turns 2 in February, so
that's
going to be tap dancing on my skull in about 6 hours.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair
enough. I've got a 19-year-old that won't be.
For the first 2 years, you get him to walk and talk. The next 18, you tell him to sit down and shut up.
Exactly.
When you're coming home.
All right, so that's it for On Set. We're going to be off for the next couple of weeks.
So this is just really a one-off, maybe?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, unless we've got some free time over the next couple of weeks, I know we're not going to be doing it on the Mondays.
No.
Because Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, so that ain't going to happen.
Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve on Mondays?
Yeah.
Wow.
Christmas Eve is a week tonight.
Really?
New Year's Eve is 2 weeks.
I'm not starting my Christmas shopping until the 22nd, Dave.
That's Saturday.
Well,
you may not need to anyway.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
I'm not either.
I get paid on Friday, and if it goes through till Saturday, I'll go shopping.
Yeah. No, exactly. So, so anybody who is listening, if you are an actor or actress and have... do they actually still do that? Is it still actor and actress?
It's just everybody's an actor.
Everyone's an actor.
Everybody's an actor now.
Yeah.
I've seen that a few times, but I wasn't quite sure.
Everybody's an actor.
But,
Drop me an email.
If you are looking for representation and whatnot, if you take our word for anything, we both highly recommend...
If you take our word for anything, I'm sorry.
But we both highly recommend Scott. Like I said, we've been working with him for
2 years.
Well, 2 years for Chris and a year for me. And, definitely. But shoot him an email. His email is Scott, Scott, at Merritt, Merritt, artistmanagement.com. And I think that pretty much does it for us. Have a great Christmas, everybody, and a happy new year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you guys in 2013. And hopefully we'll have some more information on our projects then. All right? So, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
No problem.
Happy holidays.
Definitely. Cut.
Check the gate.